good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
I am still stunned and in shock at the news of Dr. Miles Monroe and his wife in the recent plane crash and the loss of their life and the loss of the gift to the body of Christ.
Yeah, I am too. I remember times when Miles Monroe would come to Dayton, Ohio, and the times that he came to the church we were a member of. And I remember we even went to Azusa Street when I first really saw him, and the message that he had given I had never heard before. You know, we hear the message of salvation, and sometimes we think that's all that there is to the gospel. However, when he began to start talking about purpose, it awakened some things in me that I never have heard that message. And so from that point on, that, you know, the pursuit of purpose has been in my heart.
Yes, I agree. God had given him revelation on purpose and revelation on potential and revelation on the kingdom of God that was unparalleled to anything I had heard some 20 years ago when we first started hearing of his ministry and were introduced to it.
Amen. But one thing he did was he left a treasure here in the earth.
And I would admonish everyone, whether you have heard of him before this discussion or not, get a book or two that he has written. I recommend any of them on potential or purpose or the kingdom of God. He even has one on prayer that we had read. He has written, I think they said, over 100 books. I'm only familiar with about 9 or 10 of them, but he's written about 100 different books. And I recommend that you go and look up that wonderful source to the body of Christ and let God bless you real good.
Amen.
When each of us are born, there is a record of our birth that is recorded in the Department of Health. It records the day, the time, the location of your birth. It records who your parents are. It records things that are important about your birth, how much you weigh, how long your body is. It records your palm print, your footprint. It records things that are of importance to you at that point in time. And that record goes with you for the rest of your life. Then there's something that's unique that happens if you're ever adopted. Doesn't matter if you're 2 or 7 or 17. When you are adopted, the Department of Health, the Bureau of Statistics, they recreate your birth record. And the parents that are adopting you go in and fill out information to say where they were at that point in time when you were originally born. And the Department of Health will recreate a birth record and replace the original record with the new record as though the new old record never even happened. And depending upon the laws of the land, that original birth record is sealed and it's not allowed to be accessed except through the court of law. And so it is when you are reborn into the kingdom of God, you get a new birth record. The day and the time and the location when you gave your life to God is recorded. I mean, all of heaven knows it because they rejoiced with you when you gave your life to God, when you were translated from darkness into light, when God gave you a new name and new birth record. Your parents were changed. No longer the parents of old, but God himself became your father. And the good thing about it is he doesn't have to recreate your birth birth record because he knew before the very foundations of the earth the day and the location and the time when you would be reborn into the kingdom of God. He knew when he would translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He knew when he would put his name upon you and seal you with his love. He knew when you would give your life to him, and he created the birth record of your spiritual rebirth before you had a natural birth, before the very foundations of the earth were laid. He said of Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you and I sanctified you. And so it is with each of us. He knew us before our parents met each other. And when God recreates, when God gives you a new birth certificate, all of the old things that you have done are sealed and they are cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be recalled in the mind of God again. Now your friends, they may remember, the accuser of the brethren, he may remember, but God himself will not remember your sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your sins from you, and he will not recall them again. Even when the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, stands before God to say, this is what she used to do, this is who he was, God doesn't have a record of it, and God doesn't hold those sins against you, because you have been reborn with a new name and you have been given a new certificate, and God himself is your father. That's an important part in your life when you are born into the kingdom of God. My question to you today is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
And that's what we're going to talk about. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost since you believe? In Acts 19, I'm starting at the first verse and I'm in the King James Version. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, remember, he found certain disciples, meaning that these individuals were saved and had accepted Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Mm. And he said unto them, unto what then are ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And when he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. So we are so grateful today that we can say that we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost since we believe. And what we want to do is admonish every believer that has not yet been baptized in the Spirit of God to seek after that baptism, because it is a gift and a promise unto you if you have been born again. So a couple of questions we just want to make sure we answer today, LJ Renee. Who is the Holy Ghost? And didn't I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I received Christ as my Savior? And if not, then how do I receive the Holy Ghost or the baptism of the Holy Ghost? So who or what is the Holy Ghost? And we know the Holy Ghost is fully God. He is eternal. And the Holy Ghost is a he, not a what, mm-hmm. not an it. But he is eternal, omniscient, omnipresent. He is alive. He is a person equal in every way with God the Father and God the Son. He is considered to be the third member of the Godhead. God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and all the divine attributes ascribed to the Father and the Son are equally ascribed to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God, as you will often hear reference to the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God bears witness of Jesus Christ. You read in John 15 and John 16, he tells about the truth of Jesus Christ, and he reveals God's will and God's truth in our our hearts. So who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God. Yes, the Holy Ghost is another form of God. Sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend God, who is the creator of the ends of the earth, God who is God of gods and Lord of lords, how God could be all God in the form of Jesus Christ, and all God in the form of the Holy Spirit, and all God in the form of God the Father. There is one Lord over everything, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. You know what? And even to think about that is how the Spirit of God is now in you. Those who've been baptized with the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of the Lord is now in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is now that same Spirit that rests in you. And so when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, God is giving you the power to witness and to glorify his name. He's giving you the power to lay hands upon the sick, and that the Bible says, and they shall recover.
So the question is, we know now who the Holy Spirit is. He is God. And he is one of the manifestations of God. In Acts 19, as you read in the scripture, Paul is he's going to those who are already believers, those who are already disciples, those who are already witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes unto them, and it says that he asked them a question. He says, have you received? Now, I don't know why he asked them the question. I don't know if he didn't see manifestations of the power of God in their life. I don't know if that because he had received the Holy Ghost and he wanted to make sure every believer had received the Holy Ghost. I don't know if that he had gone to another city and found out that not every believer had been baptized. But for whatever the reason is, when he came to them in that place in the upper coast in Ephesus, he asked them a question. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And their answer was not astounding, considering that the Holy Ghost had just been given to men because Jesus had just been taken from the earth. But what is astounding to me is that now in 2014, we have people that are born into the kingdom of God, and we have been living all these years knowing about the power of God. But you will still have people sitting in churches today who have the same response as they had in Acts 19. If you ask them, have they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? There are some that will say, we have not so much as even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. So the question some of you may have is, what is the difference of when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and received the salvation of God, and then that of being baptized with the Holy Spirit? What is the difference? Well, the difference is that when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he does immediately translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He does save you, and he does come into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. But there is additional power or dunamis that you can receive of God. That's why the disciples who had walked with God, known God, seen him work miracles, they were in the upper room waiting on the endowment of the power of the living God. So there, it's not a matter of you being a believer or not being a believer. It's a matter of you receiving the full immersion or baptism of the Spirit of God. There was more power for them to have. God wants to be in you, to dwell in you in his fullness, to baptize you, to immerse you in himself, so that when you go forth in the power of the living God. You know, in Romans chapter 7, where Paul talks about the war and the battle that's going on in his members, he said, I would do good, but evil is ever present. And the good that I would, I cannot seem to find the ability to do, but the evil that I don't want to do, I keep on seeming to fall into that I don't want to do. And there's a war going on in my members. I don't want to do this that I'm doing. I don't want to go the way that I'm going, but I keep fighting against the natural man, is fighting against the desire to live holy. Your flesh is at war against the Spirit of God. That's why God wants to baptize you afresh. Some people have argument of whether Paul had been converted when he wrote that Romans chapter 7 or not. But one thing we all can testify, that even after conversion, there's a war that goes on between the natural man and the Spirit of God. There is that you wanting to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but the Spirit of God telling you that this is not the will of God. This is not pleasing to God. And so you have that war, that battle going on. If you've ever dealt with an addiction, you know exactly the kind of war and battle I'm talking about. But the Spirit of God comes to baptize you so that you have the ability to fight off that spirit of your flesh and the spirit of the enemy that comes to war against the Spirit of God, so that it's no longer you that's battling, but it's the Spirit of God battling on your behalf. What you could not do because you are weak in the flesh, God comes through His Spirit to empower you to do it, to immerse you in Himself, so that you can say, it is no longer I, but Christ in me. Therefore, none of us can stand and take glory for ourselves, but we give glory and honor to God, because we have to say that had it not been for God, I would have been destroyed and swallowed up. All of us, if we're honest, we know that there is no good thing in our flesh. There is nothing good about us. Our flesh still stinks in the nostrils of God, but His Spirit comes to regenerate, to save, to empower, and to immerse us so that we can do what we could not otherwise do without Him. Dear God, we cry out for Your mercy. Would You fill us with the power of Your Holy Ghost? Fill all of us, God. May those that have not even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost, would You give them a hunger and a thirst? For they that hunger and thirst for You shall be filled. And those who have tasted of the goodness of God, would You refill us, God? We cry out unto You for the power of the Holy Ghost.
Remember that same plea in which the psalmist was singing, fill us, Lord, please fill us with the Holy Spirit. And I can remember that same plea that came out of my mouth, God, fill me with Your precious Holy Ghost. And the way that I desired the presence of the Holy Ghost to be in me is that I saw the power that was working in those who had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it caused me to thirst after all that God had for me. I was not one that just wanted to stop at the door of salvation. I wanted everything that the Lord had given me. And as a result, my soul cried out for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When I asked the Lord that He endowed me with the precious Holy Ghost and with evidence of speaking in tongues, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that now abide in me. And in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He reveals your purpose. The Bible says in Corinthians, it talked about eyes have not seen nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has laid up for those who believe Him. He said, but it's revealed by the Spirit, because the Spirit searches all things of God, and He begins to speak to your spirit, the Spirit of God that's within you, and begin to activate it and begin to share mysteries in the kingdom.
Amen. So you receive the Holy Spirit as a believer when you are united with Christ supernaturally at your rebirth or regeneration. That relationship can never be broken by the enemy, because it was created by the Lord, and it gives you that faith and spiritual gifts and communication through prayer, understanding of God's will. But it does not unleash the spiritual power of God, that dunamis that we spoke of. The spiritual power comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the spark that ignites the fire of ministry to the world. You know, you have a car sitting out in your driveway, and it sits there fully equipped and ready to go. But until and unless you put a key in the ignition and turn it on, that car cannot start up, and that power cannot ignite, and that car cannot do what it was intended
intended to do. It was intended to carry you from point A to point B. It was intended to be a mode of transportation. But while it's sitting in your driveway, it can't do or fulfill its potential. Well, so it is. You as a believer are like that car, fully equipped, but you need someone to put that key into the ignition and turn it on and ignite the fullness of your power and potential. The Holy Ghost comes to do that on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in the upper room and they were all together with one accord. The Bible says that the power of God came down as a rushing mighty wind, and like cloven tongues it set upon each of them, and they were endued or filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with an unknown tongue as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. So that power of God, that baptism of God, he comes to ignite you, to allow you to fulfill the fullness of your potential that you have in him. And after you have received that baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can go forth fulfilling the work of the ministry and doing the will of God in power and authority. When he says you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover, when he says you'll cast out demons in my name, you better be filled with the Holy Ghost of God when you go against the spirit of darkness in this world. With God, all things are possible, and you have nothing you need fear. But without God, you don't want to try to cast out demons in your own flesh. This is all by the power of and the Spirit of the living God.
And in Acts 1 and 8, it talks about that. And in verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. It says, when he had told them to go in Jerusalem, and there they should receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm reminded that with Jesus Christ was walking with the disciples, and he told them, he said, I'm going to send you out two by two. And when he sent them out, he sent them out first, he blew the Holy Spirit upon them. It wasn't in them, but it was upon them. And he did that so that they would be able to go to those places and demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost, knowing that they could not do the miracle signs and wonders that was needed unless the Holy Ghost was upon them. And so therefore he's saying, now there's a time. Now he's getting ready to leave, to go up into heaven. And he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm not going to no longer be with you. He said, I'm going to be in you, but I must go away so that promise of the Holy Ghost must come.
So basically what happened was they received this, just as we mentioned just now, when they were in this upper room and they received this baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, go out and tell everybody about the power of God and preach the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they went out preaching about the Holy Ghost. That's why when they encounter people wherever they went, they wanted to know, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Listen, we all were believers just like you, but we received additional dunamis power, empowering from God in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And the Lord told us to tell everybody about this that we have received. So they went out going forth telling everybody about the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Basically, they're turning the world, as L.J. Renee said, they're turning the world upside down. They're going everywhere. They know there's pockets of believers here and pockets of believers there and pockets of believers there. They're going to the Baptists and going to the Methodists and going to the Episcopalians and going to the Pentecostal and going to the non-denominational and going to the charismatic, asking them the question, have you received the Holy Ghost? And in Acts chapter 8, they went. They found out that there were some in Samaria that had received the word of God and had believed on the Lord, and they sent unto them some of these apostles that had been filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they went, they said they came down and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for he had not yet fallen upon them. And remember that the Holy Ghost is God. He hadn't fallen upon them. And they were, when Peter and John prayed for them, because the Holy Ghost had not fallen upon them, because they had not heard whether there be a Holy Ghost, then they prayed for them, and the Bible says that they were baptized
baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul and John laid their hands on these and they received the Holy Ghost. So they went back through, because men had been baptized in John's baptism unto repentance. They had been told to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now the kingdom of God is here, and he came in spirit and in power. And so they went back out telling them the good news, that you can have the fullness of God. And they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus and laid hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So our question again today for you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And we've already told you who the Holy Ghost is. We've already told you the difference between receiving the Lord as Savior and being filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in the Holy Ghost. So now the question is, LJ Renee, some may be saying, how can I receive this baptism that you speak of? I pray, God, we live our lives, every believer live their lives, that you become thirsty for the more of God, that you become hungry for the more of God. I know when I was introduced to the Spirit-filled church, and when I saw these men and women that were truly converted from the inside out, I was intrigued. And when I went to their church and I heard them pray and they prayed in tongues, I was intrigued, and I watched, and I just wanted to make sure they were believing and living what they talked about. And they were. And I was intrigued. I was intrigued that they could have dilemma and turmoil in their life, but they could have peace with God that I couldn't even understand. I was intrigued that they had joy that surpassed my ability to comprehend. I was intrigued that God was the joy and the strength of their life. And I said, Lord, that they have, I want that. I want what they have. I want that power that allows them to walk through the shadow of death and not be fearful. I want that power that they have that allows them to come into the sanctuary of God, even though their life could be raging with all kinds of issues, but they can come into the house of God and lift up holy hands unto a holy God and bless his holy name and mean it. It's not a facade. It's not fake. It's not a mask that they wear, but they came in believing that he is Lord, believing that he would rescue them, believing that he would heal them, believing. And some died like the Bible said. Some died in faith, believing. He might not have manifested the fullness of their faith while they were alive, but they died believing that God is who he said he is. God, I want what they have. And I pray we live our life so that others say, I want what they have. So how can they receive the baptism of the Spirit of God, LJ Renee?
The Bible says to ask. And matter of fact, in Luke 11, starting at the verse 9 through 13, he says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more should your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So the first part of it is to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you begin to pray in the spirit realm, and when I say pray in the spirit realm, I'm saying praying in under the influence of the Holy Ghost.
And even when we're praying, LJ Renee, often the Spirit of God will pray through us, and we will pray for the needs that that person has that we know not of,
but the Spirit knows.
You have need.
And remember, there's many that says, you know, how did you know that? That's what I was thinking.
Yep.
Jesus Christ is the intercessor. And he's saying, look, and he's interceding. He said, Lord, she's really suffering. Giving you an example. She's really suffering from some things that have happened long ago.
Because sometimes we'll say, I don't feel good. You thinking, oh, well, they're sick in their body. And God will begin to reveal, no, like you just said, no, this thing goes back a long ways back. And they don't need prayer for their physical body, because their physical body might be healed today, but it'll be sick again next week. I need to get to the root of the issue. The root of the issue is unforgiveness. It's bitterness. It's these things that go deep into the spirit. You wouldn't know that, because I'd never tell you that, because I don't want to admit that to you, but the Spirit of God.
And sometimes you just don't know.
And sometimes you don't even
know. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ for the baptism, infilling of the precious Holy Ghost, oh God. That power that's in us, dear God, you in us, our hope of glory. That power, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Lord, that same power is in us to raise us up, Father, out of bondage, out of sickness, out of destruction, God, in the name of Jesus. That same power, we pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, that when people ask, for Father, you said that all you have to do is to ask. And he said, when you ask for the Holy Ghost, that you will empower them. You will endue them with power, God. I just sense that, God, that there have been people that are listening to this broadcast that have heard about the Holy Ghost and is desiring it. I believe that someone has been praying about the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, right now to bind that enemy that tries to keep them from being endued with the power of the Holy Ghost, because the devil knows it's a showdown when we are baptized in the Holy Ghost. I pray, dear God, for that power, that same power, to be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, I need just a little more.
And you have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.